Amen. The portion of Scripture for meditation this evening, is recorded for us in the 118th Psalm. I will read various verses for edification. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, His love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, His love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, His love endures forever. Shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. The Lord's right hand is lifted high. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. I will not die, but live, and will proclaim what the Lord has done. The Lord has chastened me severely, but He has not given me over to death. The stone the builders rejected has become a capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. This is the word of the Lord. Dear friends in Christ, as you sit down with friends or family tomorrow and or whenever you have your Thanksgiving feast, and it's a good chance that many of you might be saying the opening words of our text. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love, or His mercy, endures forever. Like many people, you'll use these words, which do show up in a few other psalms, at the end of your meal. There are words that we use to thank God for the wonderful gift of food that He has given us for our nourishment and for our enjoyment. But, and I think everyone here knows this, these words aren't just to give thanks to God for food. He is good more than just the fact that He gives us gifts of food to eat, including His never-ending love and grace. So these words we can really use for any occasion, not just Thanksgiving. As the psalmist wrote, "This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." The Lord has made this day for us. This day and Thanksgiving and every day is a gift of His mercy. Each new day is a gift of His grace. And since He gives us blessing after blessing on each new day, we give thanks to God, our triune God, not just on today or Thanksgiving, but on every day. Now that opening verse says we give thanks to God for two overarching reasons. The first is that He is good. Now we could talk all day, we could talk for days on end about how good God is. So let's focus on a few of the things that the psalmist wrote. For instance, in verse 15, he says, "The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. The Lord's right hand is lifted high." Now, since the right hand has been the predominant hand, the strong hand for most people, for centuries then, the right hand has been a symbol of power and might. Just think of the Arm & Hammer logo. That symbol, that logo, is a picture of a powerful right hand holding a hammer. It's a symbol of power and might. And since this symbol of power and might, this right hand, is belonging to the almighty and all-powerful Lord, it doesn't surprise us that His right hand has done mighty things. But that's kind of like saying that God is good. Saying that God has done mighty things and good things is pretty much the same as saying God is good. We could talk about it for hours on end. So what exactly has the Lord done with his mighty, omnipotent right arm. Well, on Thanksgiving, we think about what God the Father gives to us. We think about this world. The world which he created by just his word. By just his word, he created the world as we know it today with all its intricacies and complexities. And he still preserves that world. And because of God's creation of this world and his preservation of this world, we are able to sit down in front of a dinner table to all our friends and families and join in a great Thanksgiving feast. And it's his mighty arm that gives you your clothes to wear, that allows you to have a warm place to sleep at night. His mighty arm gives you everything you need to live. Not to mention the things that we don't need to live, the things that we just want to have, things that we'll be shopping for on Black Friday. And sadly, that's where a lot of people stop and focus their attention around Thanksgiving. Oh, they're thankful to whoever it might be. They're thankful to friends and maybe family. They're thankful that they have a good job. Thankful that they have a clean bill of health, or thankful that they're able to sit down and enjoy this great feast. Maybe they're thankful for exciting benchmarks in their life or in their life of their children. Thankful for the good deals that they're about to make when they're shopping for Christmas presents. A lot of people are thankful for a lot of worldly things, which in and of itself is fine because they are gifts from God. But then they forget about all the other blessings that God has given us. Blessings that he does with his almighty, omnipotent right arm. He is not only is the creator of this world and the preserver of this world, he also watches over and takes care of us, guards us and protects us against all our enemies. As the psalmist said in Psalm 121, "The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He'll watch over your life." The Lord guards and protects us against all our enemies, by the devil, against the devil, the world, and our sinful nature. There are many blessings that God gives us that we don't even realize because it is when he keeps danger at bay. And then notice what the psalmist wrote in verse 15 of our text. "Shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous." The righteous, which means to be pure and holy, to be without sin, that's a reference to followers of God, to believers. And it is truly good that the Lord used his power to make us righteous. Because we're not righteous. Born as enemies of God. As wicked and miserable sinners who could do nothing but sin. There's nothing good that lives on us. We're not inclined toward God by nature. We're inclined towards the devil. We're inclined to hate God and want nothing to do with God. And yet, God looks at us and declares us righteous through faith in him. That's the result of God, the Holy Spirit. As we just confessed, we cannot, by my own thinking or choosing, believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him. The Holy Spirit is the one who gives us faith. The Holy Spirit works through the gospel. He converted us through the means of grace. He is the only one who gets credit for us believing and us being able to receive the blessings that God the Son won for us. And make no mistake about it, because it's such a great work, because the Holy Spirit has done so much to bring us to faith, He's going to do all he can to make sure we remain in that faith through the gospel for when Jesus comes again. As Paul said to the Philippians in chapter 1, "He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." So God, in his goodness and mercy, makes sure that we are kept in the one true faith until the last day, until we live with Him in heaven forever. And that's the second reason why we give thanks to the Lord. Not only is He good, but His love endures forever. That word love, that the NIV translates as love, really is loving kindness. It refers to the mercy or compassion or love that the Lord has on us. That He is kind and compassionate, slow to anger, and abounding in love. You can kind of think of this word as the Old Testament version of grace. God's love for undeserved love that He has for sinners. What God gives us. No matter what gifts it might be, but especially the forgiveness of sins and eternal life, those are gifts of God's grace. Gifts that we do not earn, gifts that we do not deserve. But God gives them to us out of His mercy and compassion. And this love, this loving kindness, this mercy endures forever. Not only do we enjoy it now, but we have that same gift in heaven. It is His love for us that leads Him to love us for an eternity. And how is that possible? Well, because of God the Son, Jesus. He is the stone the builders rejected, who has now become the capstone, or better yet, the cornerstone, the stone on which a building is placed, the foundation. He has rejected by men and crucified by them as worthless. They wanted nothing to do with Him. But Christ raised Him from the dead, set as the very foundation of the church. Without Christ, there is no church. He was rejected, crucified for our sins, but risen. And now He reigns over His entire creation. As the psalmist writes, the Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. It is the Lord who raised Christ from the dead, and so we give Him thanks. But not only that, but as we talked about on Sunday, Christ's resurrection is a guarantee that we too will rise from the dead. It's a guarantee that we will follow Him to heaven everlasting and be given glorious bodies like His glorious body. So that we can then say along with Jesus, "I will not die, but I will live." Well, we may die one day. If Christ doesn't return soon, all of us will die. But there's no reason to be afraid of death. For our end of life on this earth is the beginning of eternal life in heaven. Which will become then complete on the last day. So even though we die, we will live. That is the victory that resounds in the tents of the righteous. And really that term victory is salvation. So to put it another way, salvation echoes in the homes of believers. Tomorrow and every day, as you sit down in front of that feast that has been made and prepared for you, thank God because He's good. And He's good not just because of that feast. He's good for all the gifts He has given you, especially salvation. tomorrow don't just focus then on earthly gifts. But let salvation echo at your dining table. Let salvation echo in your hopes. For it is yours both now and forever. Amen. Please stand. Now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.